lucharán de 2 a 3 caídas sin límite de tiempo.
Everybody to the Lucha Listening. I'm your host as always, Tony Galvin. Sadly, today I'm not host with my usual co-host, the Cubs fan, but luckily I found a suitable replacement in Mark Jindrak, Marco Colleone of CML. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good here in Mexico, working and loving life.
Woo! Good to hear. All right, let's get right into the interview. Let's not waste any more time. How did you end up in CML?
Well, after my departure from WWE, I did the New Japan thing for a while, and then I was actually booked on one of the Rikishi. I don't know if you remember when Rikishi had a tour in Italy.
He invited me on a tour,
and then at that tour was Ultimo Dragon, and he actually invited me to his first Dragon Mania, which was in Arena, Mexico, and in that same weekend was the Grand Prix of CMLL, their once a year kind of special show there versus it's Mexico versus the world, you know that. Mm. And I got the chance, myself and Johnny Stamboli, Relic, Johnny the Bull, whatever you want to call him, he accompanied me. We went together and we were a tag team, and that weekend I got the chance to be seen by Paco Alonso, and it's quite an atmosphere. It's unbelievable, Tony. The crowd is insane, and you know, I fell in love with it. I had a good long meeting with Paco Alonso. Said I'd love to come back and, you know, do the 2 or 3 week tour thing for the rest of 2006 to see how I, you know, could adjust, and then I'd be willing to come back in 2007 fresh and start and stay the whole year. And in 2006 that led up to it was a hair versus hair match, Kenzo and I versus Universal Dos Mil and Shocker. We lost our hair in that match, and you know, I came back in January. That was kind of the deal. I came back in January and actually had a chance to redeem myself. I beat Universal Dos Mil in the hair versus hair in March, and ever since then, I've been consistently there and seeing it well.
All right, cool. Hey, speaking of you making your break with Johnny Bull. Well, what was the inspiration for the Marco Colleone name?
Honestly, it was kind of strange because the first maybe 4 or 5 shows I worked in CMLL, I still had Mark Jindrak trunks on. I had really no idea that was even my name. And when I got there, I guess it was the whole FBI thing, because at first Johnny Stamboli came over with Chuck Palumbo and did the FBI thing, full blooded Italian. So shortly after that first tour that Johnny did with Chuck, because they went first for Ultimo Dragon, Chuck signed back with WWE, so therefore left the spot open for me, which that prompted, you know, Ultimo Dragon to say, hey, that'd be perfect, you know, come on in. And I so that, you know, that I guess I was the Italian guy, so they came up with Marco Corleone. And, you know, I really like it because it was kind of a end of the chapter of Mark Jindrak, you know. it was a career that was very mediocre at best.
Oh, come on.
WWE. Well, it was, you know, sometimes I think in this wrestling business, it's all about timing. You know, it's all about timing and right place, right time, how your style appeals to that type of crowd. And, you know, WWE, something just didn't click. My luck was bad. Timing was off with, you know, for example, I shot all the vignettes for the Evolution gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember one time before Raw in Dallas when they were hyping up who the fourth member of Evolution. That fourth member of Evolution was me.
Oh, wow,
Orton,
cool.
Orton Flair, Triple H, and myself. And, we taped vignettes that day in Dallas. It was, and that's what was building up for them. But, you know, WWE kind of overhyped it. You know, they started having polls on the show, like, who's going to be the fourth member? And at the time, I'd done really nothing in WWE since the whole WCW-WWE merger. And so it was kind of like they're piping up something that was going to be kind of a letdown. You know, Mark Jindrak's the fourth member. And, you know, the week before on Raw, they're having polls. You know, fans can go to WWE.com and vote who the next member is. Is it going to be Taz? Is it going to be Kevin Nash? Is it going to be... You know, it was kind of overhyped, and you know, Vince McMahon brought me in the following week, and he said, you know, exactly what I just told you, they kind of overhyped it. You know, it probably wouldn't be a tough position for me to come in and start here. So instead, we're going to tag in with Garrison Cade, and you know that went well, and but you know, it was just average success. You know, I wrestled with all the best, Eddie Guerrero's, Rey Mysterio's. You know, it just something didn't click. You know, it made me go out in the world and be hungry again. You know, it was like I was in WCW. You know, sometimes you get complacent, or you get I don't know. You just the overall aura of the locker room, maybe lack of respect, or you just never get respect, or whatever. I don't know. It just I needed a fresh start, and Mexico was that fresh start. It was a place where. I believe, you know, what I need is I need to have a part of a TV show or a part of an ongoing storyline. You know, independent things weren't really cutting it, you know. I was never your type of, you know, I see the wrestling business as kind of two types of workers, the white-collar workers and the blue-collar workers, you know. Mm-hmm. The guys, there's the Bryan Danielsons and a lot of the ROH workers, that they're very, very, their craft is, they take such pride in that, and the chain wrestling, and the, you know, I've never been one that, I've always worked hard in my body, but my style is so much different. I wouldn't consider myself some kind of technician. You know, I haven't chain wrestled in Mexico since I've been here, you know? it's amazing, you know, but I do stuff that people, these fans want to see. They don't see guys leapfrogging over three people. They don't see people running down the ramp, you know, 20 miles per hour and jumping over the ropes and slamming in the three other guys, you know, three other wrestlers. It's a different, you know, it's even so, it's almost like the Vampiro thing, only, you know, Vampiro, he was a big, you know, a big draw. I mean, it was incredible, you know, I mean, and it really wasn't because of his wrestling, you know, he was never, I don't consider him ever a great worker. I don't consider myself a great, great worker, but I consider myself, my matches are, I can get things, the end product, you want to get the match over with the people, you know, and I feel like I have the ability to do that, especially here in Mexico, because little by little, I'm understanding the crowd, I'm in tune with what the crowd wants, what will hit, what will not hit, and you know, I just never had that instinct in WWE, you know, and so I don't know.
Oh, okay. What would you say is the big difference between the American crowds and the Mexican crowds?
Well, first of all, you know, I think in America, overall, wrestling is not really considered a sport. Here in Mexico, it's considered a sport.
Oh, yes.
It's in the paper every day. It's, you know, the results and, you know, ongoing little stories about who's hurt. You know, it's not covered in the United States. We have baseball, football, basketball, hockey, NASCAR, golf. I mean, There's 10 sports, 15 sports ahead of them, you know, and although wrestling, WWE has, and TNA has a huge fan base, it's, you know, a very small percentage to what the percentage is here. You know, there's 400 million people in the States, and yeah, they get big ratings, but here the ratings are incredible, and there's really only two sports here, soccer and Lucha Libre. So, you know, it's just the difference right there is and the people, and the Mexican people in general, They spend a lot of money on entertainment. I read a fact, like, I don't know what the percentage was, a pretty high percentage of people. People here, they like, Mexicans like to go out and have a good time, and concerts, and parties, and luchas, and soccer games. They bring their families out. So, you know, in a country that, you know, with the rising price of the tickets and stuff, and some, you know, sometimes we have fan appreciation nights and stuff, it when they come to pay, they pay it for a ticket. They come to enjoy themselves and participate. You know, that you don't have to. Sometimes the American crowds can be a little cold at first, and you know, or a really hot angle. It can be kind of cold here. In, you know, pretty much 500 people here sometimes sound like 2,500 people in the States. It's crazy. It's just a different. You know, they they stand up on their feet, they cheer, they yell, and it's a real big cultural, it's cultural, you know? In a nutshell, it's cultural.
Yeah, they appreciate you guys a lot more there.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, so I think they're a lot more passionate about, because they consider it a sport, and, you know, it's wonderful to perform in front of crowds like that.
Okay, and because of that perception, is there any fundamental difference between a Mexican luchador and an American pro wrestler?
You know, the styles are so much different. It took me a while, and to tell you the truth, if I went back to wrestling in the States again, it would take me a while to adjust. You know, I think the Vince McMahon philosophy is you're performing to the audience at home. You know. It's almost like the crowd matters, but you don't play to the, you don't, it's almost like a movie, you know, you're actors, you know, how do you say, you're playing to the people, the millions at home. Here it seems like you play to the people.
Oh, okay.
Very, very crowd oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's very crowd oriented, and that's what the people, and it's a different style, in the fact that, I don't see a big difference. I mean, there's rudos and technicals, but a lot of times here, it seems it's mixed. So I go to Guadalajara on Tuesday nights, and I'm basically a rudo. The guys hate me, the women love me. Sometimes they're in Mexico, you know, in different circumstances, you know, versus Lismark. They cheered on their own Mexican, and sometimes it's tough for them to cheer a foreigner in a situation like that. Sometimes, a lot of times, here in Mexico, they go for the Mexican.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. You know, the crowd's there, they participate how they want to participate. And I just go with the flow. My style's not really different. So, but the luchador, American luchador and the Mexican luchador are very, very different. But as I've seen this year with a lot of the TNA, female integration, you know, they can adapt. And when they do adapt, it's sweet, you know. I mean, I thought that when our Mexicans came over to the TNA, the International X Division Tournament,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was one of the best matches I've seen this whole year. I mean, constant action, you know, Ultimo Guerrero, Averno, Oswald.
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Like Kozlov, I mean, Bucanero, I mean, it was amazing, you know, to see those guys work kind of a mixture between lucha style and American style, you know, along with the TNA guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable, you know, so there's a difference in style and stuff, and everybody's got their own style, you know?
Yeah, okay. You were mentioning earlier how in some places you'll be a rudo and some places you'll be a technico. Which one would you say you prefer the most?
You know, sometimes I like to be more aggressive, you know, and when I'm more aggressive, I'm a rudo, but, you know, I changed to a technical so soon in 2007. I was a rudo in December when I lost my hair to Shocker and Universal Dos Mil.
Yeah.
And almost immediately when I came back in January, it was almost like I changed technical, like, within the first month, because it was going against the grain. The girls were cheering me, and, you know, if you're a little kid, if you see a guy without a mask who's 2 meters tall, a lot of kids, I have a lot of kids fans, and you add that into the whole almost flying, the Aguila Italiana Superman flying deal, you know, it's different. And so I was always going into green, you know, so it'd have to be for me to be a rudo again, I don't see it happening, you know? I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Okay. Of all the arenas that you wrestle in, which one would you say is probably your favorite?
Arena Mexico, by far. By far. When I'm places, I mean, full and rocking, it's like Grand Prix it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yes, of course, the big show and the big arenas. Nothing can beat it. Yeah. Okay.
Nothing.
You were mentioning your big rail jump. How did you come up with that? What was the genesis of that move?
Back when I first started doing independence, Actually, when we first got contracts in WCW, like the whole crew, Alex Skipper, like myself, Dynabull, Alan Funk, Palumbo, Sonny Siaki, guys like that from that class, The Wall, Jerry, The Wall, we started doing these independents in Atlanta. We were under contract, but they allowed us on Friday night to do this independent show at like an outside bar type place. And they actually had a ramp, and that's when I started doing it. And it was impressive then, and I just never really wrestled in a place that had a ramp again. Maybe a few times in Japan, but never again did this. So when I saw that ramp and seen a lot, it automatically sparked something in my head, and I started doing it. And, I mean, within, like, that was one of the things that really got me over in Mexico as quickly, or got me known as quickly as possible, because it was a different move, a finishing move. You know, I believe like every star, like a John Cena, he has his finishing move, he's got his catchphrases, he's got his nicknames. You know, that was one of the things I lacked in WWE. I didn't have those monikers, those things, and right away with this Superman Fly, the Air Italia, whatever, I've heard different names for it. Right away, that gave me an instant like moniker. Okay, this is the guy, this is the Italian Eagle. This guy flies, you know, and people look for that. And then I incorporated in the little thing with my hands that automatically gave people a chance to participate in the crowd, moving their hands and flying, just like the John Cena, you can't see me, or the, you know, the different slogans and catchy things that other wrestlers have. That helped right away, and. So, but that Superman Fly thing just it originated in the independents, and it just, at first place, I really had a chance with a ramp, so here in Mexico.
And is Arena Mexico the only arena that you wrestle regularly with a ramp?
You know, a lot of independent promoters, they especially put the ramp there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, obviously, they ask me if I have an opportunity in the match to do it. Can you please do it? Because we almost got this ramp for one reason, for you to do the, you know, the dive. But the horrible part is, you know, the Arena Mexico ramp is solid and sturdy, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes these other ramps you build in these outside shows, my God, I mean, they're rickety, you know, I'm running down it. I feel like I'm in an Indiana Jones movie or something, you know, crossing one of those footbridges. That's what it feels like, so... But I do it any chance I can. But besides Arena Mexico, let's see, normally the ramp, a place in San Luis, the Plaza de Toros in San Luis, they have one. And a lot of shows made on the outside, promoters sometimes build a ramp.
Just for you. That's so great. Okay, Let's move on to our next question. What wrestler in CML do you like to work the most? And we'll just go with that question for now.
What? Who?
Who are your favorite wrestlers to work with?
Oh, to work with, as far as partners go, by far Blue Panther. Mm-hmm. I've never had more respect for a wrestler than Blue Panther. Mm-hmm. What a professional, and you know, after he lost his. After he lost his mask, it's almost like he's had a rebirth in his career here. It's very, very impressive. Him, I liked Alex Kozloff was my partner, you know, before he went over, jumped over to AAA. Uh-huh. I did like tagging with him. You know, it was almost, I felt like sometimes we had like a Crash Holly, but Hardcore Holly type, you know, chemistry together. Uh-huh. as a tag team. And, you know, always mystical. You know, I've seen mystical. Mm-hmm. Because, face, you know, I mean, he's mystical. And when he's there, you know, all eyes are on that match. You know, that's the main draw. And that's been my theory ever since I've been in Mexico, you know, because of how different I am than the rest of the people, the public here, and the rest of the luchadors. I feel like that's, if the people see me one time, you know, I'm unmasked, blonde hair, I'm 6 foot, you know, 6 feet, 6 inches tall, people remember me, you know, and so obviously, when I see a big jump in popularity and a jump in, you know, overall fan base here, last year, like in March, and I tagged with Mystical a lot. You know, Mystical and Hector, we wrestled against Pedro and Averno and Mephisto several times. And when that happened, you know, when people are all eyes on Mystical, and I'm doing my things in the match too that make me the wrestler I am, people, you know, so obviously wrestling with Mystical, besides the fact he's a great wrestler, very, you know, he's one of a kind. The overall just tagging with him and being in front of that big crowd exposure, that helps a lot. And I guess wrestling my opponents, I enjoy wrestling against, like, Ultimo Guerrero. He's another professional. I have respect for him. Yes, he's a rudo and stuff, but I have respect for his work ethic. His lucha game is solid. Let's see, some other opponents. Mr. Nieto, he's just as far as, like, the overall experience of a, you know, every match, I enjoy myself. I enjoy my work. It's especially here in Mexico, because of the crowd, because of the overall fan support. Like wrestling against Niebla. Niebla is very, very charismatic. And people, you know, they enjoy watching him. You know, when they have a rudo that they like or like to dislike, it's always better when you wrestle against them. So I'd have to say Niebla and Ultimo Guerrero and rudos. And Pedro Aguayo, when he was with the company. Another guy, when you wrestle against him, all eyes are on that match. You know, and him and I, you know, I'm so big and he's so small that we had a good charisma, a good working charisma together. You know, I mean, he's a tough opponent, obviously, but at the same time, you mesh with other guys. You know, I mean, you know, for every Dallas Cowboy, there's a Pittsburgh Steeler. You know, for every Evander Holyfield, there's Mike Tyson. You know, I mean, Pedro and I would like to work a program with him. Never had a chance, but as far as Tekken was working with Blue Panther, Mystical.
Okay. And what are your thoughts of Pedro Aguayo Jr. Leaving the company for now?
Well, you know, I don't think it's for now. I think it's for good.
Yeah,
he's not coming back. He's you know, in fact, there's probably going to be some I don't know, some, I guess, I wouldn't say heat, but a little bit of potential problems with my company because, you know, last night, him and I, we debuted in the show, The Solo Bull Mojeres, which is like, I guess when you would call it a Chippendale with actors, and this year, him and I as luchadors. Mm-hmm. And we did our first presentation last night for the total, all the media, all the press at a theater. And it went real well and stuff, so... You know, he's got his own company. He's moving forward with that. You know, I mean, he's in with projects like this and projects like the show Loreja. He was always on. You know, he's been in the mainstream media. Last year with his reality show, he did the Cinco Magníficos, which I think they won. That mainstream, you know, he's gotten in good with people like Televisa, and, you know, so everybody, you know, now he's got, you know, I don't really keep up a whole lot. I have a good friendship with him, but you know, we kind of keep business separate. CMLO and his company, you know, and he's got Wagner and Cibernetico and Damian Aguilar. I mean, he's got a great core of Mexican stars. So, I mean, that's really all you really need. Plus his connection to TV. I think it's only time before he gets some kind of TV deal or TV show or. Or are you going to make a pilot? And you know, so I don't. He's never come back to CMLO. I don't see that happening.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, you know, it is a shame. It is a shame because, like I said, you know, like Arena Mexico, the overall, it's a tradition. You know, Arena Mexico, it's a traditional place. It's, you know, to see a guy, you know, he's gone now. He won't work in Arena Mexico probably again. You know, it's. It sucks, you know. Same with Wagner. You know, he always has problems. Although I'm sure he'll be back. He always goes and comes back. You know, I don't really keep up with the problems, but you know how that goes. But as far as Pedro goes, his, you know, he's not coming back. He's in it. It's a business now for him. You know, it's his company. He's going with it, and he's a smart guy. You know, I always wish him the best, and I think he's gonna do well. It's just, you know, it is sad not to see him in Mexico anymore. For the fans, too.
Okay. With that said, departures of the company, what were your thoughts of Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov making the jump to AAA?
Well, you know, well, Rocky, he came over, and the Gray Shadow gimmick was kind of just that gray. You know, it didn't really come in with a bang, and I don't know. Like I said, some places you just don't click. Like I said, I've been telling you, click in WWE. Rocky clicks in Japan and like ROH, but you know, maybe he just didn't click in the scheme of things, and with a mask in CMLL, you know, and you know, he had success before, like 5 years ago there, and I guess they're expecting that same success. They really didn't hype the Gray Shadow thing up too much. It was like a week or two. He debuted with Mystico, but he really didn't have a overall plan. And it's really easy to get lost in the shuffle if A, you really don't have a distinct mask gimmick, and B, they're really not putting you in the angles or anything. So for Rocky, it was good, and for Alex, you know, he said many times that he was kind of dying inside, you know, and. You know, I felt things like that before too. You know, sometimes you just feel like, man, I need a change. You know, maybe depression or I don't know. No one knows what he was feeling, but he's expressed to everyone that he was just unhappy, and it was something he needed to do. You know, and for both of them, you know, obviously they're my best friends here. I see him pretty much every day still. I think it's going to be good for both of them. You know, like Rocky, he gets to show a little more. Charisma without the mask would be the Asuka gimmick that he was kind of doing in 5 years ago. So that's more his personality. Mm-hmm. He's moving to that. And Kozlov, and I'm not just saying this because he's my friend, but I have nothing but the highest, you know, regard for his work ability. I think he, you know, and he's proved many times in these tournaments, these Super 8 tournaments and stuff in the States. With the I thought he was the MVP of that X Division tournament, the International X Division. I thought he was the MVP of that particular match. I mean, and here in Mexico, he had such a big fan base so quick, mm-hmm. mostly girls. I like that Backstreet Boy image type thing. And, you know, hopefully the same. I think, you know, if AAA is exactly the kind of worker. AAA is the company that needs workers like Kozlov and Rocky Romero because they're trying to, you know, they lean more towards the WWE style. Mm-hmm. As far as us, of course, we're more traditional Lucha Libre. The AAA, it always seems to me that they have they know what kind of puzzle they want to build, but they don't really have the pieces of the puzzle. The workers, you know, like the work that WWE style, which is so much timing and you know, storylines and run-ins and things like of that sort. You need the guys who can go, you know, you need the guys that, like the Alex Kozlovs, the Rocky Romeros, and you know, the gimmick then with X-Pac, it works. It's entertaining, and I think there's still more to be seen. You know, that's a little slow getting off the ground, the Generation Max gimmick, but I think that'll be successful, but as far as, you know, Kozlov, I think we're going to see a lot more from him in the future. I think he's WWE material.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, just think of it. I mean, they have a Kozlov over there right now, you know?
Yeah.
And I really don't keep up with WWE too much, but they were pushing him, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or he was a champ.
Yeah, they're pushing him considerably hard. Yeah,
you know, obviously, what's your opinion on his work? Is his work good? I mean, I remember him back in the OVW camp a long time ago when he was new. So I don't is he a good worker? Is he a good wrestler?
He's not really a good worker or wrestler, but he has potential, and he definitely has the look and the gimmick. So he has a lot of potential.
I remember he had a lot of charisma too. I mean, he's the whole gimmick, you know. So that's what I thought. You know, I didn't know what kind of work he was. But that'd be even more perfect for Alex Kozlov to come in. You know, a young guy, almost like kind of a workhorse. Another almost like Crash Holly, Hardcore Holly type thing, which works in WWE. You know, and Kozlov, the guy's 24, he turned 25, actually. We celebrated his birthday last week. I'm still hungover. He he's 25 years old. The guy speaks Russian, Spanish, and English all fluently. You know, I mean, and with WWE, you know, obviously they're leaning more towards the Latin market. You know, obviously with the TV now in Mexico, how the ratings are so high, and it's such a with that, you know, they're really you know, I met with Shane McMahon and Rey Mysterio and Batista and one of the divas, Layla, when they came to the conference, the TV conference. I stay in good with WWE. Every time they come here, I maintain a good friendship with all of them, you know, and it's a relationship that I'm glad I have. So I go there, and, you know, they know I'm doing my thing and stuff here, and I'm happy here. So, like, again, we keep business apart and stuff, but I find out the gist of everything, what's going on, you know, and they're really attacking this Latin market, you know. I mean, and for a guy like, you know, they're looking for guys that can speak, that are bilingual, that can speak Spanish, and that can speak English. And, you know, because really, pretty much all there is Mysterio. I don't know if Carlito can, but as far as pretty much only Rey Mysterio. So, I mean, that's why a lot of talk of Dos Caras going over there, because he's bilingual also. Yeah. But as far as a guy like Kozlov, who can, as a Russian, he comes in with that other Kozlov, and he's kind of like the work, you know, he carries the workload, he's the worker, mm-hmm. He knows the lucha style, he speaks Russian, so that's not a gimmick, that's real life, he's Russian. And I think he'd attract a fan base of girls, young girls, just like he does here. You know, and I think WWE, unlike CMLL, WWE will exploit, his fan base, you know what I mean, because we didn't really have that in CMLL. You know, it was kind of, we always make jokes when Blue Panther lost his mask. One of the first times without his mask, Kozlov and I and Blue Panther tagged together. And we made the jokes, you know, like Kozlov, he entertained the women between the ages of 10 and 20. I got the girls from 20 to 33, or I mean 20 and 33, and Blue Panther had the girls between 33 and above. So that was we call ourselves the new Guapos. Our inside joke. But, you know, as far as Kozlov, I think, like, WWE would take someone like him. You know, he doesn't have the size that usually the WWE wrestlers do, but, you know, I think as far as personality goes, gimmick, you know, moving into something like that Kozlov gimmick with the other Kozlov, I mean, you know, I could see something huge happening with that, you know. That's down the road. But, as far as, like, going back to the question, for Rocky, is, you know, I know he's getting paid more money, and he's got more work, and his mask is gone, which he absolutely hated. And for Kozlov, it's just another chapter, another, I guess, experience ground for him. You know, he did the traditional Lucha Libre thing. Now he's a little more in the AAA, like, WWE-type style, mm-hmm. which obviously he can wrestle as well. Which may prime him for one day WWE. Who knows? But so I think overall it's good for both of them.
Okay. All right. Now that we speaking of Alex Kozlov and Rocky Romero, when they jumped at the same time, there was talk of you jumping around the Lismark hair match. What was the truth behind that?
Really, it was just a bunch of crap. You know, it was wrong timing for me. I mean, because I actually stressed out a lot about that from that time that happened all the way till when I went home for vacation, you know, like, honestly, I'll be honest with you, you know, with a bigger position in the company and you know, having a bigger fan base and being in the media more, it was, for 3 months, it was hell, you know, between the rumors and with my company and then with everything. It was so many rumors, you know, and I was right about the time when I was facing Lismark and had the angle with Lismark, mm-hmm. It was just, there wasn't a lot of confidence, I think, on the part of my company. You know, they didn't, so many foreigners, I guess, in the past have kind of let them down, or, you know, I mean, you know, kind of like the Conans and the Vampiros, you know, they get, sometimes they CMLL, get over in CMLL and then they kind of bounce on them, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like, that girl has been cheated on, you know? I mean, she has those insecurities. And, God, I mean, after Rocky left, and then Alex left, you know, more so Rocky didn't have that much work. So I guess when he left, they said, well, okay, we kind of seen it. You know, they didn't really like the fact that he took his mask off on AAA television. But an overall standpoint, you can't down the guy for one leave. You know, he tried two or three times to get meet with Paco Lanza to talk to him about the whole mask thing. Mm-hmm. And he never really got a meeting, you know. I mean, a meeting got canceled another time, you know, something happened with scheduling. So, you know, he needed work, you know, he needed money to live. So who can fault him? But then Kozlov, I mean, you know, they could have capitalized more mm-hmm. from him, but, you know, they did give him a pretty solid opportunity. And a lot of the guys the in the locker room, you know, they saw it as a slap in the face as well as the office that he was given such a so quickly a good spot, like on the semifinals, and then he just kind of took off, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy's honest. The guy's an honest guy. You can't fault. You can never fault honesty. You can fault maybe the way he did it. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly not really talking to anyone, but you know he came out and said it. You know, he was dying inside. You know what I mean? So you know, no one feels like he can feel, you know. So, I mean, you can't jump into his body and feel what he's feeling. So, but after that, you know, slap in the face of the office, and they for sure thought I was next, for sure. And plus, AAA, you know, they had their sources saying things like, you know, the next, there's going to be another one, you know. It was kind of like a build-up. First you had Rocky, and then you had Alex, you know, a little more up the card, and then the reception of me, another guy that's in all the finals, and at a hot angle right now, Lismark, they said, oh, you know, for sure, you know, Corleone's next, you know, so then my company reads into that, and they get worried, and, you know, and paper, you know, then there's paperwork and contracts offered and stuff like that, and it was just, it blew over, but, you know, now I think it's going to be after the solo pour, so the gimmick, the whole dancer gimmick with Pedro that we debuted last night in, already, you know, my office wants to talk to me. So, obviously, there's going to be conflict here now. And there's going to be conflict in the papers that, okay, now I'm doing this thing with Pedro. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's a project that I'm going to do. You know, it's a different mentality. The whole stripper type thing, you know, is a different mentality in the States. The Chippendale stuff, it's kind of a little fruity, you know. I mean, it's looked at kind of weird and stuff, you know. And I even had a bad outlook on it.
Yeah.
But then, like this whole solo promo headies thing, like it's accepted differently here. You know, like I said, the crowds are different in Mexico than here in the States. It's the same thing. The women are fully entertained by this type of dancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I went over to the Sergio Meyer and Alexis Ayala, an actor here, they're the owners of this whole group. So when they invited me and stuff, it was, I kind of checked things out. I was like, oh gosh, you know, like it's really in my style. Just because I do one little gyration of my hips and the luches doesn't mean I'm a stripper, you know. But they gave me the opportunity, and like my friend Pano, he's a guy who's always taken every opportunity, used it to the best of his ability, and got over and pursued and progressed in his career.
Huh?
And, you know, so I did the same thing. And but that's going to raise a lot of, you know, questions though, you know. And, which I don't care because, it's almost like when people weren't talking about it, then I guess it'd be time to worry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my office already wants to talk to me. I'll talk to them probably tomorrow. It's going to be we're coming to a crossroad here, kind of, you know, because my you know, fame outside of the luchas has become big here. You know, last year, kind of the Outside Star magazine kind of took me in a little bit last year. You know, I dated a few singers or, you know, one actress, and you deal with all the rumors and the, you know, cheese maze and stuff like that, the whole gossip and stuff. I got in that whole scene, and that made me even a bigger star here outside of it too. So now this whole solo promo heavy thing is going to help me. So my company and I, CMLL, we're coming to a crossroad because I feel like it's time. Like I believe it's you need to strike while the iron's hot. You know, a lot of things, I'm getting a lot of the outside publicity now. And whereas, you know, I'm pretty much the only one on Team LL is doing that now. You know, I think you have to take advantage of it sometimes, you know, to bring in a different type of crowd, bring in, you know, we've got the same fans for the last 35 years. They're not going anywhere. But, you know, like WWE always trying to do, you need to appeal to the mainstream also. And we're already, you know, Lucha Libre itself is already carried in newspapers, and it's already accepted, you know, it's accepted. You know, a lot of times the American culture doesn't accept wrestling. You know, they look at it as almost like a redneck thing, or like a, you know, the whole steroid thing, and how we're not even, you know, we're not athletes and stuff. And sometimes there's a disrespect, you know, and it seems like Vince McMahon's always fighting an uphill battle in mainstream America, especially after Chris Benoit death and stuff. But here, you know, it's already accepted. People respect the luchadors. So, I mean, and then you got a guy like me who's getting accepted in the mainstream here. If you put both of it, you put our traditional lucha storyline, give me something hot, and you add that with you know, my outside projects, it could be something big. It could be another Vampiro thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting a higher level of fame, but you know, now we need to bring some people in, the more people in the buildings for because of it, you know.
Yeah.
So. That's why, you know, we're coming to a crossroad, and honestly, if there's rumors and stuff, and obviously we're going to have to talk, you know, Mr. Alonzo's on vacation right now until, like, beginning of February. You know, I have goals for the new year. You know, I want to go after Ultimo Guerrero for the belt, for the heavyweight belt, you know.
There we go.
I think sometimes, you know, and obviously it's going to be an uphill battle because, like I said, he's a respected Mexican. He is brutal, but, you know, people, the Mexican fans can respect a good luchador. And Ultimo Guerrero, like Alex Kozlov, I have nothing but the most respect for him. And I think he's a great, great luchador who could also easily wrestle in WWE. I think Ultimo Guerrero has that potential.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Speaking of Ultimo Guerrero and the CML heavyweight title, you don't think there was, let's see, how can I put it? You think with them putting the title on Ultimo Guerrero, is there a way of just, transitioning the title to maybe someone like you, who's more of a traditional heavyweight?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, that topic hasn't been brought up yet. Kind of the last few Coliseos, it's been about Dos Caras and Ultimo Guerrero. You know, Dos Caras is trying to avenge his loss, you know, and come back and get his title back. But in the midst of all this, and actually, it's the first time I'm going to say it out loud. I would find it pretty interesting to have a three-way dance for the belt, you know?
Yeah.
Something like Ultimo Guerrero versus me versus Dos Caras. Like I told you, honestly, if that match would have happened in Arena Mexico, I think it would sell out number one from the upbuild. I remember before working with Dos Caras, man, the fans really, really bought into that. You know, two guys that kind of were the unconventional flyers. And now even more progressed, now that I have more of a character. Back in 2006, I was still fairly new here, and the fans really got into I want to say something in Spanish, but I'm thinking of the Spanish. He was my rival.
There you go.
And the fans, you know, they really liked it, and I think it could have went further, but it kind of detoured the Shocker and Universal Dos Mil. So that whole thing could be, you know, relaunched, him and I, and you know, Ultimo Guerrero is being Naruto. But like I said, like, in Arena Mexico, in a match like that, I could end up being Naruto in that match. I could care less. I just want an opportunity in the belt, which, to me, kind of feels like a slap in the face, because I've never had one chance at the belt, not once. And I understand that Dos Caras held it for so long, but, you know, even before when Universal was the champion, it was more of a hair versus hair thing with him. But, you know, here I haven't held a belt. I think one time in my almost 2.5 years here, I've had an opportunity at the trios belt with Dos Caras and Hector in Puebla against the Guerreros. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think, God, I mean, only one chance of a title, you know? I mean, I really want an opportunity at this heavyweight belt. You know, I think if I could go ahead and be the champion here and win that belt, like I said, I'd like to take it mainstream. You know, sometimes the belts don't have a lot of meaning here.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Scott has had it for 2 years and defended it a handful of times. Come on. You know, I'd like to win it. Throw a suit on, bring that belt on with me with every morning show possible here in Mexico, and carry that belt with pride. Like, hey, I'm the champion. I'm the best of the best here. You know, yeah. Kind of like the Ric Flair. You know, mm-hmm. You know, Ric Flair would wear the suit and he'd have his belt, and it meant something. Here it seems like it's, you know, well, okay, he's a champion. He'll hold it for 6 years and he'll defend it 7 times, you know. You know, whenever we need a film match, whenever we need a hot match in Full Sail, we'll make it a title match, you know. It's horrible. It's horrible. But, like I said, I'm working here, so they gave me a job. I'm not going to complain about the way they've been doing things for 75 years. But, I do, in my own opinion, it's an opportunity, you know. I mean, I think CMLL needs to open the mind just a tad. And because with the WWE coming in now, high ratings, big, super high ratings, I mean, you know, more people every week are going to see, you know, a CM Punk on TV than they will an Ultimo Guerrero. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I'm not saying you have to compete or perform that style. Because sometimes I feel Triple A is a horrible copy.
Unfortunately,
I think a little bit of a mixture. Keep that traditional luchador style, but come on, let's throw a storyline. Let's throw a consistent storyline a year, here now and again. You know?
Yeah, I know. And as long as we're talking about AAA, we mentioned earlier how you came in with Giant the Bull, Sampoli, and / Relic, and what are your thoughts on his comments of just pretty much burying AAA?
I kind of think that was more of a, maybe he was a little frustrated, you know. It was tough for him here. Like I said, you know, it's difficult here. It takes a very, you know, you have to conform a lot. You're used to American style, the whole American thing, you know, the hotels, the rent-a-cars, the real clean arenas. Forget about it here. You know, you gotta throw that all out the window. We do things different here, you know, and it was tough. It's a hard thing to adjust to. I mean, you know, traveling 12 hours in bus and, you know, working in a Plaza de Toros, you know, you have dirt locker rooms with, you know, little chairs and barely any light. That's just the way it is. And then, you know, maybe no showers. It's just the way it is. You have to bite your tongue and say, thank God I have a job.
There you go.
And that was my philosophy. That's what got me through the first year, you know. And I'm a believer, you know, with Paco Alonso, we have a good relationship. And that's why I kind of sense there's so much, you know, rumors all the time with me leaving. You know, he's been the best boss, you know. And I feel like if I'm going to go into the office, if I'm going to go into the office and ask for something, I'm going to make sure before I ask for it that I feel like I'm worth it. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing here in CMLL. I've never asked for more than I thought I was worth. You know, I'm a realist, you know. I never would ask for mystical money or close to mystical money because I don't draw like Mystico does, you know.
Yeah.
I hope one day I do. You know, I hope one day I do.
No doubt.
Like I asked for a raise. I asked for a raise a few months ago, and I got it. No problem. Because
hey,
it's the first time I asked for a raise in like almost 2 years. And I felt he deserved it. And, you know, the whole time, there's a sense of loyalty. I stayed with the company and the Giant of the Bull Relic thing, you know, I mean, he just got a little impatient and with a mixture of, you know, new, the way things are done in Mexico and the way AAA does those things, it was just tough. It was tough for him. And I just feel like a lot of it was anger, you know. And I don't think he ever thought he was going to come back here and work in AAA, so I guess he didn't care burning the bridge, you know?
Oh, that's a shame.
But, you know, it's, like I said, it's tough here. It's tough. And not any, you know, Americans are just coming here and do it because, so my philosophy is the first year here, okay, this sucks. Maybe I take 7-hour bus rides sometimes. It sucks. But I'm going to work hard and get over. So therefore, I can ask for a plane ride, you know?
Yeah, player dues.
You know, and I just think that to put Johnny in a spot with the Relic gimmick, it just, just overall, it was one big mess. It kind of happened quickly. It was ironic because that was another thing that added to the rumors too, because I came in with Johnny the Bull my first time here. So after Rocky and Alex have jobs, now Johnny the Bull's in a job. And, you know, so I mean, basically all my, you know, best friends in the wrestling business are in the other company, you know, so obviously that I was going to jump. And, you know, it was just hard for Johnny. It's just like, it had bad timing. So I guess the way he perceived his gimmick should have been wasn't the way that it was used on TV. So it's just from the start, it was just a big mess with the FM3 and with the papers and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't, and it just happened so quick. Like the honest to God story, when you remember when I got X-Pac a job with CMLL?
Yeah, for the anniversary show.
Yes, and on that, it was like literally the night that shook the Mexican wrestling world. One night after Arena Mexico, we went to this restaurant. I took Alex and Rocky and X-Pac, and Johnny was actually in town just visiting to check things out. The check was CMLL about work. Originally, just CMLL was going to check them out. Mm-hmm. And after Arena Mexico, this is one restaurant I took these guys to. It's called the World Trade Center, Bellini's. It's like on the 45th floor of the building, so you can see all the Mexico at night lit up. So I thought it'd be cool to take Johnny to it, let him do a little sightseeing. It's the first time Xbox been there too. So lo and behold, we all walk into this restaurant, and the whole family of AAA is there. Dorian, the mom, everyone's there.
Whoa.
And right then and there is what the night that shook the wrestling world, because that night, pretty much in a nutshell, Johnny got a job. You know, he usually came to get a job with CMLL. Even before I had a chance to bring him into CMLL, the next Monday, he already had a job with AAA. In that time, Rocky had spoke to Dorian, and then that got Alex thinking, because, you know, he started, his juices got flowing, you know, about maybe a new beginning, a new start, you know, and then X-Pac, that's when it was kind of a weird situation, because earlier that week, I got X-Pac a job with, you know, it was kind of like AAA didn't really have a use for him anymore, and they kind of let him go. Then I got him a job, and then they wanted him back. You know how that goes. It's like having a girlfriend, you're in the water, and then she goes and starts dating some other guy, and then you want her again, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. But all that night, X-Pac, I guess, you know, that night he, you know, he got his job back with AAA, I guess, and I didn't know about it. I was kind of left in secret about it because, you know, I kind of put I vouched for him. We got a job with Paco, and then he kind of jumped ship. But, you know, he's my boy. I'm just happy he had work, because he didn't have work when he was with AAA. You know, he had some problems with the whole thing. And then I got him a job with CMLL. I was happy he didn't work. You know, he kind of screwed me the whole thing, but, you know, I'm just happy he had work, period. He's my friend. I'm glad he had work.
Yeah.
And then, so that night, you know, we're pretty much right then and there, four people jumped the AAA, you know, and I was pretty much sure I wanted to stay neutral the whole thing, you know, it was, you know, it was weird. And Johnny got the job kind of quick. He really, you know, his perception of his gimmick and their perception were two different things, the way it worked, and it just, they got off on the wrong foot. It happened quickly, got off the wrong foot, and it just, I don't know. So the whole Johnny thing, it's unfortunate. I don't want to take sides. I think it's difficult in Mexico. I think Johnny, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the way business is run down here. If you don't like it, then get over as quick as you can so you can make some statements, you know. And at the same time, though, he had some anger with the situation. And, you know, there were a little lax in certain situations, like with the FM3 and the whole apartment thing. And so overall, my opinion on it was a wash from the start.
Okay. My last question for the interview is a question that must be asked. what is Kemonito like?
You know, a lot of times, since my outside shows, when he works with Chakra a lot, we rode together, got a chance to spend some time with him. He's a cool guy, you know. He's been there so long, he's almost looked there like a veteran, like a guy that everyone respects in the locker room, you know. He's obviously a big part of the show. Mm-hmm. It's a tradition to see him alone. And he's a fan favorite, and he's a real nice guy. It's kind of cute, you know. When we dropped him off at his house, he's got a wife, and he's got kids, and his house has a little door in it. He's got a big door, and he's got a little door. So that might be a fun fact to tell people. But yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy, and real nice guy, and just like he's one of the boys.
All right, cool. All right, thanks again, Mark, for doing the show. Really appreciate it. Anything you want to talk about before we call the show?
I just want to say, I really enjoy looking at the blog. I mean, the more you guys get your information, but it's good information. Wherever you get it from, keep it coming.
Yep, that's my goal.
The blog is, I enjoy it. I go to it every day pretty much to find, that's where I find all my Lucha news. Sometimes I know I'm working from your side before my company tells me, so thank you.
You can thank Cubs fan for that.
Pardon?
You can thank my co-host Cubs fan for that.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Well, thanks a lot, man, and anytime, and big fan of the site, and thank you very much again.
All right, thanks everybody for checking out the podcast. Catch you sometime soon. Bye.
All right.